broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robbie. And we have a great show for you today. As always, you can catch us on www.ringsidereporter.com. Today, we're going to talk about the $25,000 Mayweather mouthpiece, Amir Khan going back and forth on opponents, and Sean Porter and Tim Bradley, a possibility. But first, we're going to talk about Adonis Stevenson and Saki Obika. This fight took place on Saturday as part on CBS, and this was a good fight. Obika was rocked a couple of times late in the second round as Stevenson was able to get that left hand working. Stevenson was winning the early rounds, but Obika was definitely having his moments. It wasn't all one-sided. I mean, it was Obika definitely had his moments for sure. Even when Obika was the aggressor, though, he seemed to be getting the worst of the exchanges. Around the sixth round, his legs looked like they were gone. But it was funny because as the fight went on, he actually seemed to get better stamina. He actually seemed to kind of get his legs under him and actually moved a little bit better. I thought he was moving a little bit better than Stevenson was. In the sixth round, counter left hand put Sakio down. Stevenson was clowning throughout the fight, which I don't see him doing much of. But he clearly felt comfortable. Obika didn't seem to move much in the early rounds. He moved more in the later rounds. He was very game. Obika was very game. Can't say enough about him. I mean, he looked, for coming up in weight and fighting Stevenson, I mean, he was, you know, he looked pretty good. I mean, he was, you know, he clearly lost the fight, but he did look good. Obika went down for the second time in the fight in the ninth round, it looked like. Yeah, in the ninth round.
Yeah, it was once in the sixth and once in the ninth.
Yeah, and Obika had a more good moments toward the end of the fight, but in the end, Stevenson was just a little bit too big, too strong for him. What were your thoughts on the fight?
Well, the fight itself was okay, but I hated the CBS broadcast.
Really?
They had too many audio problems. Virgil Hunter's and Paulie Malignaggi's microphones weren't loud enough. Kevin Harlan is a fine announcer, and because I just got done talking to somebody about this a while ago, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I don't know how much boxing he's done as far as blow by blow.
Right.
And he is an experienced broadcaster, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but overall, there was no atmosphere in that arena. I found the broadcast to be let's put it this way. I thought NBC's broadcast last month was better than what CBS put on Saturday.
Okay.
So if I had to compare the two networks for PBC, so far I think NBC has done a better job.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't, you know, I didn't really notice the audio issues as far as, you know, as far as the mics not being loud enough or anything like that. I mean, everything seemed okay to me. I was, you know, I didn't really notice it, which I thought was a good sign, because when you're paying attention to that, then, you know.
Oh, trust me, when I watch fights, I pay attention to everything, and especially if you're going to talk about something, you want to pay attention to everything, and it was a decent card for what it was, but I thought Julian Williams got totally ripped off. He only got to see two rounds of his fight. Come on, J-Rock deserves to be shown for 10 rounds. You knew that Beterbiev's fight was going to end rather early, which it did. So you could have put J-Rock on, I don't know why they only did it for 2 hours. I think Al could have bought a third hour and put all three fights on, because I think J-Rock, Julian Williams, is going to go places. Whether he's with Heyman or not, he's the future of that 154-pound division. So if to only see two rounds of his fight, granted it was against somebody we'd never seen before, or at least I haven't.
And it was a fairly one-sided fight, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, it was fairly one-sided. Yeah. I think it was more of a showcase fight than anything else. I mean,
but the point is, if you know, if you're going to show two rounds of it, then show the whole fight, okay?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know,
I would have liked to see the whole fight.
Yeah. Of course, I'm a boxing fan, so I don't want to see two rounds of anything. If you're gonna if you're gonna show a fight, show the whole fight.
But so. I think this is kind of even easing into mainstream, easing into prime time, and that kind of thing. And I know it was Saturday at 3, but still, it was a big deal for boxing. I think because you know, we hadn't had a fight on in the afternoon in years. I mean, it's been
actually
quite a
2012 was the last time we had a network fight on in the afternoon, and it was CBS that did it also. I would have, and of course, with that card, that was the Leo Santa Cruz fight that he had back in 2012 on CBS. With that fight card, they used the entire Showtime crew. I thought that that's how CBS was going to handle this because they own Showtime, and, you know, I figured they were going to use the Showtime crew, but for whatever reason, they didn't. But Stevenson did what he had to do. Let's get it on with Kovalev. Let's get that negotiation over with. Let's get this fight on.
Well, I wouldn't be too excited about that fight. Rumor has it that he's going to line up. Stevenson's going to line another fight up, and it's not going to be Kovalev.
Well, you know what? Then the WBC is going to strip him because they've been ordered to submit their bids on April 17th.
Well, I've got a feeling Heyman's going to have something to say about that. you know, and I tell you what, the other thing that concerns me about Stevenson, the Stevenson-Kovalev fight, is the fact that Stevenson is largely a one-handed fighter. He seems to put no effort into that right hand at all. And you're going to need to have both hands to beat Kovalev.
Well, I mean, that's why I want to see him get in there because I don't think he's got a snowball's chance in HE double hockey sticks to beat Kovalev.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think, not the way he looked against Bika, man. And I mean, and not that he didn't look bad against, he looked really good against Bika, and I thought Bika had his moments, and Bika's not, he's a little, he's in the twilight of his career, no question. But I thought he fought pretty good. But, I think Stevenson's going to be he's going to be in deep water with Kovalev, man. He doesn't even use it as a hard jab.
No.
And most of the time that right hand is down. He's got that typical Kronk style where that hand is carried low, and it drives me crazy. He holds that hand right around his stomach or his hips and fires that jab off. There's really nothing behind his jab. He uses that left hand to set it, he uses the right hand to set it up, but then the big power punch is coming from the left. That's all he has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not good.
No, I think if Bika's going to stick around in the light heavyweight division, make him the next victim for Archer Beterbiev because, we need to see Beterbiev go some rounds.
Let's talk about that fight, man. Beterbiev and Archer Beterbiev and Gabriel Campillo. Man, you know, the first thing that struck me about this fight was how much smaller Beterbiev looked than Campillo. Campillo looked like a giant in there next to that guy.
I know, but as you could tell, size doesn't matter because once he hit him, Campillo didn't know what to do with it. You know?
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't think Gabriel has much anything left.
Yeah, it didn't look like it. It didn't look like it. I mean, he was knocked down in the first round. That was a wide right hand he got hit with.
Well, that's why I want to see Archer Beterbiev. I want to see if he's the real deal, so let's put him in there against a quality light heavyweight person that can take some punches. And yeah, Bika got beat up by Stevenson, but one thing we know about Bika is he puts on an ugly, rugged fight. Let's see if this guy can deal with somebody like that.
I'd say, yeah, Beterbiev dominated every round of this fight. Campillo was finally knocked out in the fourth round with another right and followed by a left. And he landed rights whenever he wanted to. I mean, and he was out. I mean, Campillo was out before he hit the canvas. I mean, he was
That's completely right. Gone. Yep.
Man, I want to see this guy. I tell you, he still hasn't gone past four rounds in his career. I think he's 7-0, maybe 8-0 now.
Eight knockouts. Yeah.
He looked really, really impressive. And after the fight, he was calling out Kovalev. And apparently, he beat Kovalev in the amateurs. And
they had a couple of fights in the amateurs, and I think they split. So, but he's not ready for Kovalev yet. I want to see him go some rounds. So that's why I'm saying put him in against a guy like Bika, who knows how to make an ugly fight. Let's see what this guy can do.
I wouldn't. If I were his handlers, I'd put him right in there against Adonis Stevenson. Because he would demolish Stevenson.
I want Kovalev to do that first.
I would, if I were his handlers, because they're already pushing for a title shot, I would put him right in there against Stevenson.
Well, you know what? That would be fine if the WBC can go along with it. Keep this in mind. On April 17th, they have to start negotiations or go to a purse bid. So, because Kovalev is the number one contender for the WBC belt now.
Yeah, I don't know. There's always ways. It seems like there's always ways around that stuff. You know, I mean, I can't tell. I mean, when was the last time? I don't know. And somebody brought this up, and it was a really good point. I thought, when was the last time Mayweather fought a number one contender?
Robert Guerrero.
He was a mandatory.
Yeah, he was a mandatory.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yep. He earned the mandatory status by beating Aideen, and then he beat Andre Berto to become Mayweather's mandatory. And Mayweather—that's the last mandatory.
So Berto could have been a mandatory.
Yeah, that's right. If Berto would have beat Guerrero, Berto would have been a Mayweather mandatory, and Mayweather would have bypassed him. But because of the way Guerrero beat up Berto, that earned him the $3 million payday with Floyd. Because Floyd said he watched that fight, and he said after that fight he deserved it. He deserved a shot. So
Of course he's gonna say that.
Yeah, yeah. But if Berto, I guarantee you, Eric, if Berto would have won that fight, Mayweather would not have fought Andre Berto.
I don't blame him. I mean, there's no money in it. There's really. Yeah. I was surprised they got money out of the Guerrero fight. But I guess anybody who fights is gonna draw money. So
the pay per view for that did not do well.
No.
I ordered it because Robert Guerrero is he's from the Bay Area, so he's close to my area. So you know, I like to support my local guys, but I knew we didn't have a chance in that fight.
No way, man. So all right, so for our next fight, we're gonna go across the pond here to England. The big heavyweight on the scene, Anthony Joshua, fought Jason Gavern. A lot of people said that Joshua didn't look that good. Did you see this fight?
No, I did not. Unfortunately, if it's not on my TV, I don't see it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Joshua did what he was supposed to do against someone of the caliber of Jason Gavern. He's 26 wins, 20 losses, you know, 4 draws and 11 KOs. So he didn't really pose much of a threat to Joshua.
That has tomato can written all over it.
Gavern was down twice in the first round and again in the third, and that's where the fight ended. Anthony Joshua, after the fight, said he thought ring rust was a problem. He said he had a bit of ring rust, so he couldn't display everything he's been doing in the gym. I tell you what, he looked pretty good to me. He didn't look like there was a lot of ring rust
there.
Now,
is he promoted by Eddie Hearn by chance?
That I don't know. That I don't know if he's... But a lot of people are jumping over to Eddie Hearn, man. I tell you that. He's making a lot of waves.
I'm trying to think who would be next for a guy that needs more fights. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, in the heavyweight division, I mean, I think they're pretty loaded in the heavyweight division as far as getting fights. And I mean, by loaded, I don't mean with talent. I mean with, you know, people that are, you know, they can put in front of them and get his record padded and, you know.
Well, I'm not talking about getting your record padded. Yeah, if he's talking about ring rust... You know, then that means, okay, let's get him back in the ring as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, he was coming off an injury as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was coming off an injury or something like that, and that's what kept him out for a while. So that's what he was talking about. He's already got his next fight lined up against Kevin Johnson at May 30th
at
the O2 Arena in London. So,
cool deal. All right.
Yeah, and I've got the full card results, not a bunch of names on there, probably know any names. I don't recognize many of them. John Lewis Dickinson knocked out Steven Simmons in 8, and that was the more notable one on the card. Everything else was kind of undercard type thing.
Next.
All right. So next we're going to go to Friday Night Fights. Peter Petrov, unanimous decision over Gamaliel Diaz.
Yeah, now I like Peter Petrov. I think he's going to be a wonderful person in 135. I think he's going to be the next one to win most belts in that division and do quite well. Cuz I liked him when he fought in the Boxino tournament last year.
Yeah, he was just okay for me. I mean, it was a bad fight. I think it was just a rough fight. I mean, it was a lot of fouls in it. And Diaz was clearly looking for a way out in the later rounds. He was pretty outmatched in this fight, and honestly, it really showed, man.
Yep.
Diaz had no answer for Petrov. I mean, when Diaz came forward, he was being counterpunched, constantly. I mean, and he wasn't coming forward very often. He was just getting dominated the whole time. Petrov was knocked down in the first round, which, you know, that looked to be like a push or a slip. What did it look like to you?
I'm surprised at that. Jack Reese, who's a very experienced referee, called that a knockdown because I didn't think it was. But I like Peter. They had him in there against a guy that made him look bad, but I do think he's got a bright future. But what do I know? I've just been watching boxing for over 40 years, but I do see a future champion there.
Yeah, he looked okay. I mean, like I said, the fight was just okay for me. It was a foul-filled fight,
yeah.
You know. And the big news in the fight was Diaz was knocked down in the seventh and lost one or two. I don't know if he lost one or two points for low blows at the end of that round. And then
1 point.
Because I saw him signal two at the end
as the fight ended.
But as the round ended, I saw him hold up two, like he was going to take another point away. But it didn't look. I didn't know if it was official. I didn't know if he walked it over to the judges or not. So I didn't know. Petrov was going ahead enough.
I think that was his way of telling in corner. Any more of this, another one's going. You know.
Yeah. So that was the deal with that fight. I tell you what though, I didn't really care for. It was a Jack Reese. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that. When he pulled I guess, Diaz on the side and said, you know, it's a cut. It was from a clash of heads or something like that. And he said, it's just a small cut. You know, we got to get fighting. You know, you're kind of embarrassing yourself on TV. And, you know, you're in front of a national audience. They want to see you fight.
I think Jack was just trying to get...
Both of them were complaining. Here's my problem with it, is that both of them were complaining of fouls the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
Petrov was complaining. Now, Diaz gets fouled. He complains about it. And he just kind of gets blown off.
Right.
And he's cut. I don't care how big the cut is. He's cut.
Right.
You know, small cuts turn into big cuts. That's the way it works.
I know.
You know.
But I think Jack was trying to keep it moving because, you know, I notice whenever fights are on national TV, they don't like too many delays, you know. It's like when, remember when Miguel Cotto fought Sergio Martinez and Cotto put him down three times in the first round?
Yeah.
The referee could have very easily stopped that. I don't know if referees think about this stuff consciously or not, but when they're on big stages or they know that they're on TV, they're gonna do whatever they can to keep it going. Like in the Cotto Martinez case, so people get their money's worth out of it. I think in this case, look, this is on TV. I've got to do what I can to try to keep this moving. Let's not have too many delays. You know,
not really his job. You know, his job is to officiate the fight. It's not really to keep it moving. It's not. It doesn't have anything to do with commercials. Anything like that, you know, or TV time or how much time is left. His job is to officiate the fight.
No, I totally agree, Eric. I'm not arguing with you.
I tell you, I mean, it was kind of irritating, like I said, man. And, you know, and I don't like when a referee, you know, he was really involved in that fight. And everybody, you know, when we had, there was a referee a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember his name. Maybe it was Bird. I don't know. But for the life of me, I can't remember his name. But
you talking about during the Adrian Broner Molina fight?
I don't know. I don't think because I didn't think he did a great job either. But you know, when I can hear the referee, everybody was, you know, the rule of thumb is, if I know the referee's name at the end of the fight, you probably didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm hearing your name over and over again, and you're stopping the fight, and you're talking a lot, you know, and everybody thought this guy was doing such a great job. I didn't think he did such a bang up job.
Well, no, I think Jack I think he did the best with the situation, because both of these guys were trying to make it dirty, and I don't really have a problem with the way Jack handled the fight. You know, could he have done some things differently? Maybe, but Jack Reese is one of California's better referees.
Okay. And I'll say this too, man. I love Teddy Atlas, but one thing that drove me absolutely crazy is that Teddy gave the first round to Petrov. Petrov was knocked down in the first round, and the ref counted the knockdown. At this point, there's no way it can be a 10-9 round for Petrov. None.
I totally agree, but Teddy is Teddy, and that's why I think when the PBC takes over ESPN, Teddy will not be on the broadcast.
It drives me nuts. I mean, everybody likes to complain about the judging, but very few people know how to do it correctly. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, giving him a 10-9, I was like, are you serious? How could you give that round to him? Even if you thought he was winning the round, it's still not a 10-9. You can't do that. He was knocked down.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with the knockdown. I don't think it was, but, you know, I don't either.
It was like a push or something like that. Like I said, a push or a slip, you know, but again, the ref called the knockdown. So as a judge, you know, and not that Teddy's a judge, I'm just saying in general, but as a judge, you have to count that, you know.
No, and, Because of the way Teddy has talked about Al Haymon in the past, especially when he made the Danny Garcia-Rod Sokol fight, he went on a major rant on live TV about that. I don't think Teddy will be a part of the ESPN broadcast once Al takes over in July.
Yeah, I agree. I would be surprised. And, I'd be surprised. I mean, I usually like him. He's got a lot of good insight, and he's got a lot of good points and stuff, and I like how he breaks down fights pretty well. He does speak his mind, and you gotta admire that. But, yeah, I really like him, but, geez, I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, the last time you'll see Teddy Atlas on ESPN will be May 22nd, because that'll be the last card for Friday Night Fight.
Yeah. So let's move on to the Tara Shelishtuk.
Shelishtuk.
Yeah. Over Juan Rodriguez. He won an 8-round unanimous decision.
That really wasn't much of a fight either. That was, and basically, I think the better guy won, because the other guy didn't have a whole lot to offer. That's just the way I saw it.
No. He was cut in the fourth round due to a headbutt. Shelishtuk, this is. Was cut in the fourth round for a headbutt. He was cut on his fourth. He was cut on his forehead, and he was bleeding into his eye. But they actually got the cut under control pretty good, and he was able to coast it out the rest of the way. He was able to get. He dominated the fight. Unanimous decision win. Pretty easy for him.
Yep. Like I said, it really wasn't much of a fight other than the cut, and they did a good job in the corner, so, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. The next fight on that card was Emmanuel Robles, unanimous decision over Wilberth or Lopez. You know, I don't really say this often, you know, because I always find, like, you know, some kind of merit in the fights and everything like that. And, you know, even with the Sakio Bika fight, I mean, where he was, you know, it was clearly a one-sided fight. Clearly he was going to lose, but at least he was in there. He was fighting. This one was so uneventful. It was a terrible fight. You know, I didn't think neither fighter looked great. And, I'd be shocked if, Robles, who's, the guy who's unbeaten, you know, he's not going to make a title run. He's not going anywhere. You know, I mean, he looked like he was middle of the road at best.
No, I think the only person you're going to see make a title run off of that entire card is Petrov, that's only because of the division he's in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if he was as good as his record indicated, he should have been able to get Lopez out of there. Lopez didn't look like he wanted to be there either.
Right.
And I tell you what, if I were there, I wouldn't have wanted to be there.
It was a pretty uneventful weekend for fights. We can't say that for the upcoming weekend.
Right.
Because we got two fight cards on Friday, and we got We got the one on Saturday plus a pay-per-view if anybody actually wants to pay for it. So,
my guess is no. Now, over in Mexico, Carlos Cuadras retained his title, his super flyweight championship, his WBC super flyweight championship, with a 12-round unanimous decision over Luis Concepcion. And it was a unanimous decision, from what I understand, by all accounts of the fight. I didn't see it. Everything was, it was actually pretty close up in the eighth round, 77-75, and then he started to pull away, 78-74 on two cards. It was open scoring. That's how they know.
Oh, and, I hate that open scoring.
I hate it too. But he closed the show pretty well. His final scores were 118-110, 117-111 twice for all for the winner and champion, Cuadras.
Carlos
Cuadras. Yeah, I can't stand the open scoring either. I don't know why. I just don't like it.
No. Look, sometimes I'll be the first to criticize a judge if I think they totally blew it. But I'd much rather have judges at ringside than after the fourth round. So and so leads 40-36. Well, if you know you're 4 points down after four rounds, what incentive do you have to continue?
Right.
I mean, come on. Let's be real. Let's not publicize the scoring, because that takes away from the rest of the fight. I mean, if one fighter knows he's already down on the cards, 9 times out of 10, he's going to make sure he stays that way, I think. So let's just close this off. And, this is not the National Football League where you got to put the score on the screen to know what people are doing. It's up to you as the fan to figure out who you think is winning.
WBC implements open scoring. What is the criterion for that in the sense that how do they determine which fights have it?
I don't have any idea, but I wish they would stop.
Yeah, I'm wondering because, I mean, Mayweather's a WBC champion. Are they going to have open scoring on May 2nd?
They'd better not.
Yeah. It just kind of ruins the fight for me. I don't know why. Maybe it's that element of surprise. I don't know.
Look, I'm gonna be paying $90 to $100. I don't want anybody's opinion on how they think the fight is going, unless you're a ringside judge or you're doing it for the pay per view. You know, then I can argue with you if I don't like the way you're scoring. And believe me, I've done that. I'll be sitting here watching the TV and I'll start arguing with Harold Letterman's scorecard. You know,
I tell you, I drive my wife crazy because I talk during the fights, you know, and I might scream or yell and just kind of give my commentary on it, and absolutely nobody's listening. You know, it's just me and her in the room, or sometimes she leaves the room and I'm still talking like a moron. You know,
my mom will be in the bedroom watching something else on her TV, and she'll come out and she'll say, "Do we have company? Are you having too much fun here, or what's the deal?" Yeah. So.
All right. So on Friday, April 10th, we got two cards here. I guess one is a show box, correct?
Yes, we have a show box
on ESPN2. Boxino tournament continues.
That's right. For both divisions.
Yeah, heavyweights and junior middles, man. We got Razvan Kajanu versus Donovan Dennis and in the heavyweight division, and then Andre Fedosov and Lenroy Thomas in the heavyweight division. Now, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I hope this gets better in the heavyweights, because the last heavyweight fights they had on here for Boxino were horrible.
Well,
I mean, the entire card was horrible.
It's ironic you bring this up, because the day that the heavyweight tournament was to start, or the day it did start, that's when the Pacquiao Mayweather stuff broke, and right. So I was on the air with the boxing voice, so I didn't even watch the heavyweight tournament the first time, but I did watch the...
Well, I can tell you didn't miss anything, that's for sure.
Yeah, I did watch the other division, and boy...
I thought junior middle yeah. stacked.
They've got some good fights there.
Yeah. But I tell you what, that heavyweight, and it was the same way, you know, I would rather watch those guys watch a fight than to watch those guys fight. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were awful. So they better pick it up.
Yep.
So those are the two in the heavyweight division. In the junior middleweight semifinals, you have Brandon Adams versus Vito Gasparian and Stanislav Skorokhod versus John Thompson.
I think Stanislaus is going to win that rather easily, and I think Brandon Adams and Scarbarian, that's going to come down to the final round. Those two, that's going to be the fight of the night on that card.
I think it very well may be. I think Brandon Adams walks that fight easy.
That's right, and I think then you'll see on May 22nd, Adams and the Ukrainian fight, and that'll be a hell of a fight.
Man, and that's what it's shaping up to be. I mean, looking at this card, that's what it's shaping up to be, as Adams and Scorecode.
Yeah.
And man, is that good. I cannot wait for that. I hope both of them win on Friday, because man, I cannot wait for that fight. That's just a dynamite fight, man. If Adams and Scorecode go in there, and I think Adams gets by Gasparian pretty easy, and Scorecode, I wouldn't be surprised to see him knock out John Thompson.
Yeah, no, I said, because remember, John Thompson wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament. He ended up, he was there on a standby basis. One of the fighters couldn't make weight, so he stepped in and actually won the fight.
And won the fight, yeah. He didn't look great in doing so, but he won. So,
yeah.
Hey, he's got a chance, man. If you're in it, you're in it. Anything can happen in the tournaments. You know, that's what makes them so exciting.
And that's the only bad part about ESPN selling out to the god known as Al Haymon, is because that means these tournaments go away.
Well, who promotes? I wonder who promotes the tournaments. Because Boxino is promoted by who is it? I can't remember. But I mean, I'm sure they. Somebody's going to pick him up. Yeah, somebody's going to pick him up.
Right.
You know? So it should be ESPN2, man, on Friday. That's the one to watch, man. Because that's going to be good.
That's at 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock over on Showtime, you've got.
Frank Galarza versus Sheldon Moore for junior middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? Ivigan Kytrov versus Aaron. I got to brush up on my Russian and Ukrainian.
Yeah.
Cause and I,
then,
I learned these names.
Then you've got Alvin Redkach also fighting that night.
Now, I've never heard of Galarza or Moore. What do we expect out of these two?
Moore, I haven't seen yet. Galarza, I've seen him fight on Chillbox a few times. He looks pretty good.
Okay.
So.
Well, then we'll keep an eye out for that one then. Yeah. And also, too, on Friday, not going to be televised, but Cruiserweight, WBA. We were talking about Cruiserweights last week. WBA Cruiserweight title on the line, Denis Lebedev versus Yuri Kalenga.
Yep. Well, I know you want to see that division go away, but I think there is a place for that division. I just don't think it's never been promoted properly. And even though I don't like the idea, I do think it would be a very good idea for Marco Huck and Roy Jones to actually fight to put some headlines on this division, because you've got the WBA champion there, what you mentioned. I've heard nothing but good things about him. But
he beat Roy Jones.
Yeah. So, let's put some spotlight on some of these guys and let's see how worthy they actually are.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, because like I said, I'm not a big fan of the cruiserweights for sure.
Well, Eric, I don't think you're a fan, because they don't really get anybody to fight, and nobody's willing to put them on our TV.
That's true. We don't see a lot of them. But you know, with Al Haymon signed Huck.
Yep.
Yeah, he just signed Huck. So
that's right.
Maybe he's going to put some spotlight back in the division. So hopefully.
Let's find out what some of these guys can do when they're actually put under the lights.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
So there we go.
All right, and on April 11th, Premier Boxing Champions on NBC, the big fight this weekend. This is the main fight this weekend, man. Marcus Brown, who's 13-0, versus Cincinnati's own Aaron Pryor Jr., the main event fight on the card. How do you see that fight going, man? I think Aaron Pryor Jr. walks him. What do you think?
I haven't seen Pryor Jr. fight, but I like the sounds of it.
You're missing Dynamite.
Now, is that going to be on TV, by the way?
I think it's probably too marquee to put on television, to be honest with you. I don't think it'll be on TV. It was way underneath in the undercard, so that's probably not going to be televised.
Are they going to fight in Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's on the PBC. It's on the Garcia Peterson undercard. You know, those two are fighting.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, so that's on the Peterson Garcia undercard.
But, okay.
Marcus Brown is 13-0. Apparently, he's an up and comer man. But I've seen Pryor Jr. fight quite a few times because.
If he can fight anything like his dad, I'm all for it. Okay.
Can't, but he gives it a whirl. You know, he tries his best. You know, light heavyweight. So, we'll see what he can do. But best wishes to him, man, and hopefully he comes out on top there. But let's talk about the real main event here for Premier Boxing Champions on NBC on Saturday. Danny Garcia versus Lamont Peterson.
I would be much more excited about this fight.
Yeah, you just took the words right out of it. You're going to take the words right out of my mouth. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would be much more excited about this fight if they were fighting at 140 and all the belts were up for grabs.
Right. Now, this is a catchweight fight at 143, I believe.
Yep.
143 and no titles on the line. It's a 10-round fight.
And this irritates the hell out of me. Here is two champions who hold three belts.
Yeah.
And they're not putting them up. Come on.
Drives me nuts. I mean, when this fight was signed, I mean, everybody went nuts. This is going to be on TV. This is just an amazing fight. And you don't put the titles on the line.
Yeah. Look, we all get that Al Haymon is going to create his own belt. It's a foregone conclusion. That's the way it looks to me anyway. But, my God, what the hell's wrong with you people? Put all three belts up because the IBF, from what I heard today, I don't know how true this is, but from what I've heard today, if Lamont Peterson does not win, they're going to strip him of that title because he didn't defend it.
I don't know. I don't know how true that is either. I don't understand why they didn't put up. But I do know that Garcia is going to go after this fight. He's rumored to test the waters at 147. That's what
Danny has been open for the last year about the fact that he can no longer make 140. But then why does he have to go through this garbage of fighting somebody only 3 pounds above? Officially give up your titles, go to 147 and take your chances.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, I think there's bigger fights. There's definitely bigger fights at welterweight for Garcia. But I'd like to see him unify the titles and then move up, if he's going to do that.
Give me a break,
Right.
I think Danny Garcia is going to win this fight without much of a problem.
I think he's going to win it pretty handily, yeah.
Yeah.
Peterson, I tell you, Peterson's a champion. It's not like he's a slouch. It's not like he's a pushover, man. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a good boxer. I mean,
hell, he beat Amir Khan.
And, Garcia hasn't been looking exactly stellar,
No.
So, yeah, Peterson beat Amir Khan. That's right. But we don't know if he was on the stuff beforehand, but he was on the stuff, the PEDs afterward. It went down the rematch.
Absolutely. No, he beat Amir Khan. The only time he's ever really looked bad, he got blown out by the machine. But everybody gets blown out by the machine.
Right. Kind of a downer fight with the 10 rounds and no title. But, hey, you know what? If that's the only way we get to see it, I'll take it.
Okay, well, you're going to see DSG look good on TV, like his commercial said.
There you go. The ladies like him, and so does Ringside Robbie. He's picking him to win. I take Danny Garcia to win too, man. I don't think Lamont Peterson. I think he's a little bit too strong. I think he's just going to be too strong for him. I really think that. I don't know. He just seems to me like I think he's going to be he's the better boxer, I believe. And Lamont Peterson's a really good boxer, but I think Garcia's got that. He's a slick boxer, and he's got a lot of pop too. He can put you away. So I'm going to take Garcia in this one as well.
Yep.
He
might even get the Amir Khan treatment from Danny Garcia. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Peter Quillen is ultimately going to get his title back that he decided to throw in the garbage because he didn't fight Matt Korobov. I like Andy Lee. I'd like to pick Lee to win, but let's face it. Lee is a very slow starter, and that's one thing Peter Quillen is not. I think Quillen is going to going to get an early lead on the scorecards, and if he can stay away from that lethal right hand of Lee's, you might see him coast to a decision. The only chance that Lee has is if he lands that eraser of his.
Yeah, and I don't see it. I mean, he was clearly getting beat his last fight. Andy Lee was before he landed that right hand, and I think that's really his only chance to win this fight. He's not going to outbox Quillen. He's not going to put on a boxing clinic against Quillen. Quillen's a better boxer. I see Quillen win. I wouldn't be surprised to see Quillen put him away.
Well, it's possible, but yeah. Andy Lee can take a punch.
Oh, absolutely. And he'll be in it till the final, until the end of it. But, it wouldn't surprise me. Like I said, man, it would not surprise me to see Quillen put him away.
So Peter Quillen is ultimately going to get his title back that he decided to throw away.
Gotta like that.
Okay.
And then, of course, we mentioned Marcus Brown and Aaron Pryor Jr., and now also on the undercard of this one is Errol Spence Jr. and Samuel Vargas. So we'll see how good Errol Spence looks in this.
Well, we won't get to see it. That's another non-televised fight,
Yeah, so. I'm wondering, I wish that's what I wish. I wish they had, and we'll talk about this later on too, how we may be able to see it. But, I wish they had, like I said, they've got, as I'm watching, the March Madness is going on with the Final Four and everything like that, and the championship game, of course, on Monday.
That's tonight, by the way.
Right, but the people don't get this show till Wednesday. So
no, I know.
All right, which Duke has just pulled ahead 27-26 for.
Okay,
those of you.
Well, Duke should win. I think
it's a close game, man. Very tight so
far. Yeah, I know. Although Wisconsin did pull off one upset. So,
yeah, let's not talk about that. Kentucky fan, so we're not going to touch on that at all. So that's why we're not discussing the national championship tonight. So no issue here.
Okay.
I've got no comment. All right. But I think, I wish there was a way because, like I said, with March Madness, they have all these games on all these different channels. They have them on TNT, TBS, and everything. And I wish they could do. They have enough, they have NBC, they have the NBC Sports Network. NBC owns enough channels to put the undercard on somewhere.
Look, I wish HBO would do the same thing because, let's face it.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
One thing Showtime does that I like is whenever Showtime has a card, they normally put on their undercard fights on Show Extreme. I wish HBO would do that. Like for example, HBO puts the China fights on HBO2.
Right.
So why don't you put on all the undercard fights on HBO2 and then put the fights you want on HBO? Well, you could do the same thing here. Any fights you don't want to show on NBC, you show them on NBC Sports Network to build up the fights. Before you tell everybody to switch over to NBC, there's no problem with that.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're not doing that, but they're not.
I don't either. Unless they're waiting for it to go, maybe down the road they're going to do this. I don't know.
Yeah.
But incidentally, Errol Spence should win that fight pretty handily.
Yeah.
He's the next guy.
It's another walkover for Earl, and I think it's time you step up Earl's competition,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they are stepping it up. Who knows? I mean, because I've never heard of Sammy Vargas before, so I don't know. Maybe they are stepping it up slowly, but I think Errol Spence is the next guy, man. I think he's the next one.
If he's at 147, he's going to have to deal with one time.
Well, I mean, it's tough, man. Olympic, I tell you, the pedigree of those Olympic boxers, man, it's just you always kind of have to side with them, whenever you...
Yeah, well, Eric, I think the future of 147, the way it's being laid out, unless somebody corrects me or can prove to me that I'm wrong, I think the future of 147 is Keith One-Time Thurman.
Man, Thurman's no joke, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he's going to get a shot before long. That's, it's got to come down to it. So.
I mean, let's face it, if Mayweather beats Pacquiao and he does it convincingly, you could see Thurman getting the next Mayweather fight. Come on.
I absolutely could. I absolutely could. So let's talk about...
And let's face it, even if Keith Thurman loses to Floyd Mayweather, that's not gonna downgrade his stock at all, because everybody's supposed to lose to Floyd Mayweather. So
right,
you know.
Exactly.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right, so you talked about the pay-per-view, Orlando Salido versus Rocky Martinez, and I think the biggest news story with this fight is that it's actually a pay-per-view.
I was listening to somebody's show earlier that's actually flying to Puerto Rico to cover this fight. He told the promoter when the thing was announced, and once he found out when the PBC thing was, he told the promoter this wasn't a very good move. But apparently on the island of Puerto Rico, they're treating it like a front page news story over there, because that's how crazy they are about this fight. Matter of fact, Puerto Rican fans don't even really care about the PBC. This is they're considering this kind of like their Super Bowl, because they've been waiting for this fight to happen for I don't know how long. I think Salido wins this fight, but it's probably going to be the best fight of the entire weekend. I'm just sorry that the promoters have decided to put it on pay-per-view, even though they are only charging $39. That's a bargain in boxing these days. And I do think, because of the way these two guys fight, I do think it will be the fight of the weekend. But, you know, more people in the States are going to pay attention to NBC than they are this. And that's kind of too bad, because it looks like it's going to be the kind of fight that fight fans would love to see.
Yeah, I think it may be a big deal in Puerto Rico, and I'm sure it is. I just don't understand how they put this on pay-per-view, because I wonder if it's pay-per-view in Puerto Rico as well.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but I still don't understand this is on pay-per-view. Incidentally, I'm taking Rocky Martinez, the hometown guy. You're not going to beat him, man. No way. Not on this big of a stage. Not
well. Like I said on last week's show, had this been last weekend, I definitely would have bought this. You know.
Yeah, I mean, why? But you know, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, but then you got the free one on TV. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, because the CBS thing was early in the day. The pay-per-view would have been at night. It would have been a lot better to watch than the BKB. You know,
the BKB. So, yeah, yeah. Did you? Who was the main event for that? That was
Gabriel Rosado and Curtis and Stevens.
Curtis Stevens ended in a draw, and I heard it was a really lousy draw. It went the wrong way. Stevens should have got that fight. And
that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unfortunate for him, but it's good to see bad decisions follow. You know, following all different.
And remember, sports, for anybody that's interested in the BKB, if you fight in this, it does not count on your boxing record. So.
Yeah, just don't know what to make of that. You know, I don't know what to make of the BKB and how it's sanctioned and all that other good stuff. And because it's really, I mean, the only gimmick in it is, I guess, it's a smaller ring.
It's a smaller ring. It's 2-minute rounds. I know DirecTV is one of the major sponsors. They've actually put money into this thing.
Really? Wow.
And there'll be 8 cards of this a year.
Wow.
That's what they've decided. And I don't know if it's going to be a year, but their ultimate goal is, once it's built up enough, it'd be 8 cards a year at very low pay-per-view prices.
Wow.
So people will actually. And look, if boxing goes in the wrong direction, they might stumble onto something here.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely coming at a right time. I mean, especially with boxing going mainstream like it is, they're definitely coming at the right time, put it that way.
And, I forget who the promoter is, but in one of the interviews he did, he basically said he has doubts about how boxing is going to do on mainstream, so he's willing to take a gamble and see how this goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And but nonetheless, a questionable decision. And with that Rosado and Stevens fight, And speaking of questionable decisions, that leads us to our history lesson.
Oh, my God. Week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hagler Leonard, Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard fought on April 6th, 1987. And Hagler had made 12 straight defenses of the middleweight title. Leonard was coming off a 35-month layoff. He had just one fight in the last 5 years.
Because of his detached retina, folks.
Yeah. Ferdy Pacheco, the interesting thing about this, too, is Ferdy Pacheco kind of dismissed the fight and said that Leonard risks his eyesight. He risked his life. He said there's no way Leonard is going to beat Hagler. And Leonard did put on a good fight. He put on a good show. But the scores, I always thought Hagler won that fight. I've watched it a ton of times, a dozen times, and every time I watch it, Hagler wins, I didn't think that Leonard won the fight. It looked to me like Leonard was fighting maybe 10 to 30 seconds of every round.
He basically pulled what Floyd likes to do in some of his fights.
Yeah.
And
would do a quick shoe shine, get away, and that was the round. And then they would give him the round. And so the judges' scorecards at the end of this, everybody has their own opinion on this. But, the judges after the fight scored at 115, 113, once for Leonard, once for Hagler. And the judge that really, the scorecard that really raised eyebrows was the 118 to 110.
Yeah, that just blew me away.
Yeah, for Leonard.
Yeah. And that was my very first pay-per-view fight, by the way. So I will never forget that. So
I remember watching this fight. I remember watching this fight in the bedroom, and I was back when I was small. I was in the bedroom watching it. We had cable, and it was one of those old boxes where you actually had to turn the dial because it wasn't the main box.
Oh yeah. And you probably listened to the sound, right?
Absolutely, because we didn't pay for it, And I wanted it so bad, and they couldn't pay for it. So I was like, my parents didn't want to pay for it, And I'm like, all right, well, I'm still going to listen to it at least. Mm-hmm. And and you could just barely make out. It was like that snowman kind of screen where it was still scrambled, but you could hear it perfectly. You could hear the announcers and everything like that. And so I sat there and basically listened to that fight for 12 rounds, Mm-hmm. And I was really excited once I got to see it, but the Associated Press incidentally had it 117 to 112 for Hagler. Boston Globe and Herald had it for Leonard. Chicago Times and Tribune both had it for Hagler.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler won this fight, and I am so sorry that we never saw a rematch because he won this fight and he deserved to fight again. He got so angry because he lost this fight, he retired and left the country and hasn't really been back since.
He left the country. It's not even like he just retired. I mean, he just got out of here. He said, I've had enough, and just boated out, But, I tell you what, don't cry for Marvin Hagler, all right, because he's made more money now probably than he ever has boxing.
Oh, my God.
Apparently some kind of a soap star over there, like a TV star over there, movie star or something like that.
For those that don't know, he is a very rich man now, and he's living in Italy and living the high life. He's doing quite well.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah, he's doing okay. He's doing quite all right, to say the very least,
And, of course, we get to hear Sugar Ray Leonard on Saturday during the PBC, so there you go.
Yeah, it was funny. There was a Legendary Nights on HBO about this fight, and it was good to hear, Leonard's commentary on it and, stuff like that. And he said that Hagler, backed him into the ropes, and he would come into him, and he'd say, stay here and fight me, you little,
Yep.
And Ray Leonard just shook his head. He said, nope, and he just kept moving. So, it was pretty entertaining, I think that the best quote from that was that, Hagler won the fight, but Leonard won the night, and that was kind of how it was. And I think he kind of stole the show in that sense because nobody thought he could last 12 rounds with Hagler, let alone win the fight,
And I think it's funnier than hell because Marvin got so mad over this decision. He up and left the damn country, and I don't think he's ever been back.
The country, not even just, he's out. He just went, he just left. What made you think? I mean, I don't know what went through your head that says, you know what? I'm just leaving the U.S. I'm done here. You know, that's some resentment right there. I got to be honest, man. That is some resentment for a bad decision. Because I've seen like worse decisions. I mean, we've all seen worse decisions.
Yeah.
And people still live here. I mean, he just got this decision and said, you know, screw it, I'm leaving. You know?
Well, hey. If I would have been Marvin Hagler and I heard that a judge scored it 118 to 110, I think I would have been absolutely furious too. I don't know if I would have taken the drastic measures he took, but apparently that's the one that sent him over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I tell you, you could say that again. I tell you, must have sent him over the edge to go to Italy, you know. I mean, he's living with Arthur Riley over there. You know, eating cannoli every day, partying with movie stars and stuff like that.
He's got good food over there. I mean, good wine, lots of women. He's got nothing to worry about.
Maron, you know. There you go. All right, so let's move on from the history lesson to our news and rumors section. All right, so let's talk about Amir Khan. Amir Khan is now backtracking on his fight with Chris Algieri. A lot of backlash came from this, man. He announced on his YouTube channel, or I guess it was his wife's YouTube channel, he's fighting Chris Algieri. And then, among other things, I believe he stated that Algieri was a hard puncher, a hard hitter, as he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta like that one, right? And he stood his own. He stood his ground against Pacquiao. He did a good job with Pacquiao. You know, just if you count six knockdowns, a great job. That's wonderful. You know. after he put out this video and announced that he was fighting Chris Algieri, things just went south for my man. I mean, everybody came down on him, from the boxing public to the boxing media to Showtime. Even there was a post put out that Showtime said they were not going to televise that fight.
No,
if that was the case.
And like I told you before we went on the air, Al Haymon even stepped in and said, no, we're not doing this.
That's so great. But you know what? I wonder if, but he was widely, you know, but I wonder if Al Haymon, you know, was on board. I mean, he clearly had to be on board. Yeah, but all the media backlash he had about, if that's the case,
I don't know what gave Amir Khan the thought that he could actually get away with trying to fight Algieri. Look, Al Haymon might have been on board, but one thing we've learned about this dude, if you don't want something made public, you don't make it public until he's ready to make it public or, you know, ready for things to be released or whatever. I don't know what Amir Khan was thinking here, because not only that, the IBF, you know, did they offer him a fight with Bradley? Is that how it went?
I'll talk about that in just a second, okay?
Okay.
But, I think the best part of this whole thing, the best part of the whole Khan-Algieri thing is that just yesterday or a couple, it was either yesterday or the day before, Khan came out and says, no, I'm not fighting Algieri next. No, he was just a front runner. He's just a name we threw out there. After he clearly said this on YouTube, I mean,
no,
he got him on camera.
The best quote of this was, I don't know where people got that. I think, you know, give me a break. You said out of your own mouth.
Right, right. I don't know. I can never imagine where people got this news and ran with it, you know. No, of course not, you moron, you know. I mean, I don't know who his PR person is, but he better start using them, you know. Now, as we talked about earlier, the IBF and Tim Bradley, because people were saying, you know, hey, you could have fought Keith Thurman, you could have fought Kell Brook, you know, for a truckload of money up in England, you could have fought Adrian Broner, and now things are coming out with the Adrian Broner thing, where Adrian Broner apparently wanted a catch weight, and Khan says, no, just fight me at 147. You know, and I think, what is it, Broner's tied up on June 20th, I believe, no matter where he fights, but he's tied up, supposedly he's tied up on June 20th, and the thing about that is that apparently June is Ramadan, so he can't fight anywhere near June.
Yeah, from June 17th to July 17th is Ramadan, so he's
right.
not fighting.
And he says he needs a couple of weeks. Apparently, you need a couple of weeks to prepare for Ramadan.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about this, but apparently, you're not allowed to eat.
Yeah, you're not allowed to eat. From what I understand, I don't know, and I don't profess to know anything about the religion or what Ramadan is.
You're not. Well, apparently, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to eat during sun up. You have
right.
to wait.
You
have to wait till nighttime to eat. I mean, come on, I'd die.
Yeah, you know? I mean, so that's the thing. I mean, so you got to wait. So I can understand that. And I mean, I guess apparently he says he has to get prepared for it. He takes a couple of weeks to get prepared for it. I don't know what preparing for it entails. I don't know, you know, but that's what he says. So, and I understand it's a religious thing. So I've got no problems with that. If you can't fight him in June, I understand, you know.
Apparently you, and he wanted the fight. He wanted whoever he's going to fight to do it next month, you know.
Right. Right.
And, you know.
And, you know, but he was offered Tim Bradley. They said Tim Bradley, Keith Thurman, Adrian Bronner, Kell Brook. Just four names out there, just to name a few.
And this is the second time he's bypassed Bradley, by the way, because he was supposed to fight Bradley at 140, and he blew that off, too.
Right. Well, here's what happened. As Khan said, he was not offered. He came out and said he was not offered the Tim Bradley fight. And then it came out, you know, then it came out, the IBF came out and said, well, you kind of were. Yeah, we did offer you the fight.
Right.
So I spoke with Lindsey Tucker today, the championship chairman of the IBF this afternoon, and here's what he had to say. He said, quote, "We didn't contact Amir Khan directly. We contacted his management team, and they said no, he's not interested. And why would he be interested? Why would he fight Bradley or anyone else to become the number one when he could fight Kell Brook tomorrow?" He said, without even going through an eliminator, Kell Brook, for the next 9 months, he's in an optional period where he can fight anybody in the top 15.
Yep. So, and Kell Brook has not only said he wants Amir Khan, they booked Wembley Stadium for Amir Khan.
Yeah. And I tell you, you know, the thing is after hearing that, it made perfect sense once it was said. I know I read it somewhere else. That, you know, I read it that the IBF came out and said, no, we did offer you something. And I decided, I was like, you know, let me check on this here because there's something not right here.
Uh-huh.
And it does. It makes perfect sense on why Khan didn't take that Bradley fight. Why should he have to fight Bradley for a shot at Kell Brook when he can just get a shot at Kell Brook?
Right.
Kell Brook's sitting here calling his name.
But again, this is the second time he's ducked him. So. You know,
and I don't think there's anything to it. I don't think there's anything. I don't think he's scared of Bradley. I don't think anything like that. I mean, again, they're professional fighters; are not scared of each other. But I think here's the deal with Americana, and this is why he chose Chris Algieri, is because he wants a Mayweather or he wants a Pacquiao. He wants the winner of that fight. He puts himself in line in a dangerous fight against Kell Brook, Keith Thurman, Tim Bradley, or one of those guys. Then, you know, all of a sudden it's not, you know, Chris Algieri, you know, he doesn't stand, you know, he doesn't have a lot of power. Chris Algieri's moving up. He doesn't have a lot of power. It's not, you know, it's not a great, you know, it should be a showcase for Amir Khan.
No, but if I was Floyd or Manny and I was looking for another opponent, you know, after the fight's over with, depending on who wins and how it goes, and I needed to fight somebody else if there's no rematch, I would want to look at somebody's resume and, okay, who have you fought?
Well, let me tell you this, though, is that apparently Manny was real close to fighting Khan if the Floyd fight fell through. Floyd's people contacted Amir Khan also for that fight if the Manny fight fell through.
So he had
both of these guys knocking on his door if that fight fell through.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to keep busy. He's got to fight somebody. Why put yourself in jeopardy? You know, why take a tough fight like Keith Thurman or Tim Bradley or one of those type fights, risk an injury, risk anything else, when we know, you know, Mayweather's going to fight in September. He could be in line for September, next May, whatever, you know. Or if he fights Pacquiao wins the fight even sooner, he gets in there.
Eric, you're a boxing fan, though. How many cupcakes are you willing to allow Amir Khan to eat before he has to fight somebody?
Well, clearly, I don't allow him to take any. You know, being a boxing fan, I don't allow him to take any, but you have to look at it objectively. And when you look at it objectively like that through a business, because you have to put on your business glasses through this, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously, you know, and I was the first one when he said Chris Algieri, I started laughing, you know.
Well, if I'm putting on my business hat, I take all that UK money and go over to Wembley Stadium and put money in my pocket, okay? That's what I do.
Well, you know what, though? Do you think that he's going to make more money fighting Kell Brook than he would Mayweather Pacquiao?
No, of course. That's why I said, while Mayweather and Pacquiao are tied up,
right?
Take the UK money, and if you think you're worthy of a Mayweather or a Pacquiao fight, go impress the boxing world and beat the guy that's been calling you out.
And quite honestly, you know, I think Amir Khan wins that fight. And I think Amir Khan wins that fight because I don't think Kell Brook is really ready for, you know, prime time just yet. I think he needs a couple more defenses
and establish
himself a little bit more.
See, that's what Amir Khan has been saying all along.
Right.
That, you know, I'm above his level. He's not ready for me. Well, then why don't you shut him up and go over there and prove it?
Well, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is now, like, say, let's say he fights Conor Pacquiao, or let's say he fights Pacquiao or Mayweather. Let's say he loses that fight. The Kell Brook fight is still there. That Kell Brook fight is not going anywhere.
Absolutely. But Eric, if he loses a Mayweather or Pacquiao fight, guess what? He won't make as much money as he's going to make right now.
No, but his stock, but he's already made the money with the Pacquiao or Mayweather. And his stock really doesn't. And we said it too with anybody that loses against Floyd.
Yeah.
If Thurman loses against Floyd, his stock isn't going to go down.
Right. If you lose to Pacquiao or Mayweather, you're okay. But,
right.
You know, I don't know. If I'm putting on my business hat and I want to make money, then I walk into Wembley Stadium and I do my best.
Yeah. I agree, and that's what I want to see him do. I mean, you know, business aside, I'd like to see him fight Tim Bradley. I'd like to see him fight Kell Brook. I'd like to see him fight one of those guys.
I mean, hell, 80,000 people will show up for that fight.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a big fight in England, man.
Because you've seen the George Groves Carl Froch fight last May. 80,000 people showed up for that fight, so I know they're going to show up for this.
Exactly.
So, you know, give the UK fans what they want. HBO or somebody will televise it over here. We'll get to see it. I mean, if you're worthy of a Mayweather or Pacquiao, go prove it.
He's got to be real careful, though. I'll tell you what, he's got to tread real lightly here, man, because, you know, if he does fight a cupcake now, you know, and not that Chris Algieri is a cupcake. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he's over. I think Chris Algieri is a good fighter, but he's not on Khan. I think Khan walks that fight. I think Khan beats him fairly easily. You know, I thought Provodnikov beat Algieri. Pacquiao beat Algieri. You know, man. I mean, so I think that's a, you know, a pretty easy fight for Khan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I tell you, man, it. You know, he's got to really tread lightly here because if he does take an Algieri fight or take somebody of lesser caliber, nobody's going to want to see him fight Manny or Floyd. Nobody's going to be calling for that fight. You know, I think that's going to be one of those things where, you know,
he's really
got to watch.
I have a feeling that Kell Brook could even bypass Amir Khan in the Mayweather-Pacquiao sweepstakes.
I think so, too, and I think Kell Brook has got a pretty big bargaining chip with that belt of his. And that's the only belt that neither one of them will have after May 2nd.
So see, if I'm Amir Khan and I want to fight Mayweather or Pacquiao, then I go take the only bargaining chip that I take the one bargaining chip that those two are going to want. The winner's going to want that.
The winner is going to want that IBF title.
So therefore, if you think you're worthy of a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, then you step into that ring on June 13th and take care of your business.
Yeah, I agree.
It's put up or shut up time for this dude.
When was Wembley booked for? I thought they booked it for sometime in June.
June 13th, just before Ramadan starts.
So then he's not going to be able to do that. He won't do that. He said it's got to be a couple of weeks out. Now, again, I don't know. I don't know the specifics of Ramadan. I know about the meals and you can't eat during sun and, you know, when the sun's out and stuff like that. But I don't, you know, I think it'd be interesting to talk to somebody who participates in Ramadan to see what exactly you have to prepare for. He said you have to get mentally and physically ready for at least 2 weeks before Ramadan.
I know if I had to do that for 30 days, I wouldn't be here. I I like my food, man.
He said he'd switch religions.
Yeah.
Something very good came out of this whole thing with the IBF, though. Since Khan turned down the offer, this is what Lindsey Tucker said to me today. Since Khan turned down the offer, Frankie Gavin is now next in line to face Tim Bradley for that eliminator. Bradley is in on the eliminator. He doesn't care who he faces.
Well,
he's in.
Remember, Frankie Gavin, I think, is the one fighting on Friday night, so he's got to win his fight on Friday.
Yeah, he's fighting on I think it's May 9th. I think, no. That's Frankie Gavin fights on May.
Oh, okay.
May 9th.
I'm getting the two Frankies confused. You're right. Okay.
Frankie Gavin, I believe, fights on May 9th in England.
Oh, that's right. He's fighting Chris Van Heerden.
Yeah, that's who he's fighting. Chris Van Heerden, he's 22-1. They're both 22-1. So,
by the way, I've interviewed Chris. He's a wonderful interview. He's originally from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Very cool.
And Chris gave up his IBO title to move over to the States so he could get better competition. He fought in Madison Square Garden on the night that Roc Nation made their TV debut, although his fight wasn't televised. The show that I originally started doing before I got involved in the Boxing Voice, Chris was one of the first interviews I did a couple years ago, so I've been keeping up with what's been going on with him and me and the person I started this with, we're in regular contact with him. So yeah,
oh, that's great.
He's going to go over to the UK on May 9th. That's the same night that Canelo is going to fight Kirkland.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this fight's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Well, that may or may not happen now, given the fact that Gavin is now next in line to face Tim Bradley. So he's got a fight on May 9th. We don't know if he could forego that fight and choose to fight Tim Bradley. My guess is that, if he's in training camp and it's May 9th, my guess is he probably goes along with it.
Yeah, no, Chris is already in training, and he's already made his arrangements to go over to the UK. He said he's going to be leaving in a couple of weeks to go over there and get used to the time difference and whatnot. So this fight's a go.
All right, well, I'm hoping he declines, because if he does, then the offer would go to Ohio's own Sean Porter. And I think that's a good fight, man. I think Sean Porter and Tim Bradley is a good fight.
I like that fight.
I do too. Yeah. I love that fight. I think that you could put that in a telephone booth, man. That is a good fight. I think Bradley probably wins, but, man, I tell you, that's a good fight.
And I've also talked to Ken and Sean on several occasions, so, these are people I'm actually familiar with. The only one I haven't talked to here is Gavin, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very good. So now let's talk about Floyd Mayweather for a minute and his $25,000 mouthpiece.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to tell me about this. This sounds
beautiful.
Ridiculous.
This is just beautiful. Yeah. You can catch this article on ringsidereporter.com. Apparently, Floyd Mayweather spends $25,000 a pop on his mouthpieces. He gets them made from Dr. Lee Gauss, who's a dentist. He has some with gold flakes in them, some with diamonds. He even has them lined with $100 bills in some of them. Yes,
oh my God.
Actual $100 bills.
Oh, my God.
Right. And, when you go, and the thing is, for a fight, you think, well, he's buying one mouthpiece. No, you get two or three. What if one gets knocked out in the crowd or something like that? I mean, you're not getting that mouthpiece back. I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to cop that. It's 25 grand. That's going to the pawn shop right after the fight, Nobody's keeping that. Nobody's giving that thing back,
That's right, yeah.
So if you lose it or something happens to it, so you got to have multiples of these. I mean, so he's probably taking two or three to the fight, So that's 75 grand on mouthpieces.
Hell, he's going to make close to $200 million. What does he care?
Yeah, it's going to be gone by half. Once he retires, it's going to be gone within a year, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, couple this with the $1,000 plate chef he's hiring for training camp. Chef Q, I think he calls her. It's $1,000 a plate. And he's been showing some of these plates on Instagram and things of that nature. $1,000 for two tacos. Two tacos, And
500
hot bucks dogs
a
and...
Damn.
Unbelievable. And I guess his media person is his girlfriend. I don't know if his PR person is his girlfriend or whatever. She's the one that posts she posted the video from the Pacquiao's room. Talking, and she posted that one video of him in training when he's, knocking that guy around, that, the guy he's sparring, the nobody he was sparring.
Yeah. Floyd has so many women at his disposal.
And let me tell you what, this Chef Q, I don't know if you saw pictures of her. Yeah, but she's no slouch either, I tell you that. Yeah, she's something else too. And he's always surrounded by like the hottest girls, and they all got like pivotal roles, you know. They all got like, you know, one's his you know, he's got to have his chef. He's probably got a chauffeur, you know.
Not to be a Debbie Downer here, but here's a guy that was convicted of domestic violence. So why do so many women want to be around this dude? It's only for one reason, money.
Yeah, I think that indoor swimming pool might have a lot to do with it. I don't know. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm too normal for somebody like Floyd.
Yeah.
I, you know.
Yeah, I guess when you got a whole fleet of Mercedes and a plane and stuff like that, yeah, you know, you tend to be able to pick up women. I don't know.
Yeah, jeez.
All right, so let's talk about Miguel Cotto. So it's announced about a week or so ago, maybe a little bit over a week, that his next is going to be against Jorge Sebastian Hyland. Now, I don't know if he's felt the wrath of what Amir Khan has felt by picking Algeria, and then when Cotto picked, because this was not a popular decision by a long shot. So I think he's feeling some backlash over his choice, and so is
HBO stepped in here, Eric, and said, "Sorry, we're not gonna do this." So HBO has offered him a Daniel Gill, from what I was told earlier today.
Well, I think that's a good, you know, I think that'll be a good measuring stick. You know, I think that'll be decent. You know, I think it'd be a good measuring stick to see how he does.
Now, again, this is not signed, sealed, and delivered, but that's what I was told today. The HBO said, no, we're not doing Hyland. You're going to do Gill. So, we'll see what happens.
El Vocera, the Puerto Rican newspaper, came out about a week or a week and a half ago and said that Jorge Sebastian Hyland was going to be his next one. It's pretty imminent that they're going to announce it in the next few days. As soon as this gone, and I think the PR people, they're not stupid, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they float this name out there to see how well it's going to be received. Let me tell you what, if people were clamoring for to see the Hyland fight, it would be made. Nobody's clamoring to see this fight.
No,
not even close. So Daniel Gill, now the new name being tossed around. So we'll see how
and
that goes.
I that's a name I can live with. It's not who I want Cotto to fight.
I can live with that. Yeah, I can live with that.
In my opinion, Miguel Cotto needs to, if he's going to continue boxing, he needs to fight these two people, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to accept anybody else unless they have a resume to prove it. And let's face it, Daniel Gill is a two-time former champion of this division. So.
Yeah. Again, the Biggest Loser, Roc Nation, for signing him, man. Because.
Yeah.
Good luck getting your money back with this guy, man, especially with names like Daniel Gill or Jorge Sebastian Hyland.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to know what they're saying right about now.
Well,
so let's talk about the banished judge, C.J. Ross.
Well, actually, she should be a good friend of yours, Eric. You both scored that fight the same way. So.
We absolutely did, and yeah. She had one. To me, I thought that was one of her finer moments. However, because that's how I had the Mayweather fight scored with Canelo, and however her you know the way she judged the Pacquiao and Tim Bradley fight was travesty.
But yeah, the first travesty. One that was
not
also
the Mayweather Canelo fight.
Yeah,
that was okay. That wasn't a terrible decision. But the Bradley fight that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
All right, so she gave an interview this week where she states that Mayweather's going to win and going to stop Pac-Man in the eighth round. So if you're a betting man, if you're a gambling man, since she picked Mayweather to win, you might want to bet the house on Pacquiao.
Yeah, well,
not the best judge, I guess.
I'm glad she can give her opinions now since she no longer has a judging license. So congratulations.
But, you know, and the worst part is we're still ragging on her for her opinion, so I don't know, you know.
Maybe come and join us on the podcast here and really explain yourself.
That's right, CJ Ross. Yeah. You got some explaining to do. That's right.
Yeah.
You listen to Ringside. Ringside Robbie. Let you know what the hap is.
That's right.
All right, so Manny Pacquiao now, from what I'm understanding, is shutting down the press. A lot of rumors going on in the Pacquiao camp, one of which is that he's not focused, and some people say he's not where he should be. He's now rumored to shut down the interviews for the camp. Good move?
Well, here's the way I view this. Look, I understand that you have to do some interviews to promote this fight, since you're not doing a big city tour and all this kind of thing. But We are on April 6th, and this will be put up on April the 8th. So which means you are 3 weeks away from fight time. It's time to ignore all the hangers-on and all the media and concentrate on training. You know, I am concerned about his cramp issues. That concerns me because I don't think a fighter should have those when he's training for the biggest fight of his life.
Well, he's got that $1,800 cream that he's using on the cramps.
Yeah, well,
I think they call it steroids. I'm not sure what they call it.
That really bothers me. You know, you shouldn't have those kind of issues this close to a major fight. So I hope all the medical things have properly been done.
Yeah.
But it's time to focus on training. And, you know, I understand that all the cameras are going to be involved with the 24/7 and the all access and all this kind of stuff. That kind of thing can't be avoided, but you know, when you don't have to be obligated to be on camera or anything, concentrate on your training.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Get down to business.
Now, when is the next press conference? There's only two. One was in L.A. and one was
in... And the next one will be Fight Week in Vegas.
Fight Week in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah.
Figures. Yeah. For whatever reason, I thought it was going to be in New York again. I thought they were going to come bring it to New York or something like that, but...
No, Fight Week in Vegas.
Yeah, can you imagine Las Vegas during fight week? That's just going to be a madhouse down there. It's always a madhouse. If you've never been to Vegas, it's never
not
crowded.
Yes, I've been to Vegas. Yes, I have.
But, yeah, I mean, it's always crowded. But I tell you what, I can't imagine that, and I can't imagine the prices for everything. The hotel rooms have just got to be sky high. I mean, it's just
Well, we've covered that several times, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
They're outrageous.
Yeah. Well, speaking of something we've also covered with the we talked about this last week, but it has been confirmed that yes, the Pacquiao Mayweather pay per view price will be $100 for HD, $99.95 for HD. And now I tell you what, man, they better show every fight on that card. We better have at least four fights on that undercard because I want to see.
So far from what I'm hearing, so far it's only three, but. We've still got time to add one more.
They've got to add the Pearson fight on there, man, with Sid El Harak. I mean, they've got to add that fight on there.
Well, we'll see.
All right. So you had some news about Adrian Bronner's June 20th fight.
Yeah, I guess you're going to call and confirm this, but from what I heard today,
you bet we're going to call and confirm this one.
From what I heard today, that fight has been moved from Cincinnati and it's going to Barclays.
Now that's a very loose rumor, right? Because
yes.
I mean, here in Cincinnati, I mean everybody's expecting the fight on June 20th.
Yeah,
I'm expecting the fight. You know,
but where I'm getting this from, like I told you before we went on air, he is a very reliable source, and that's why I suggest you follow.
I heard your source, and he's fringe reliable at best. I'll tell you that. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'll be sure to tell Steve Kim you said that.
Like Steve Kim even knows who I am. Yeah, and even if he does confront me with it, I'm just going to say it was you. So it doesn't matter.
that's okay. You know. Like I said, Steve is pretty reliable when it comes to, I mean, he's the one that told me the Miguel Cotto thing wasn't going to fly when that guy's name was mentioned that we've never heard of. He said, oh no, they're going to come up with somebody else, and now they have. So,
yeah. And I mean, and it depends on who he fights though. I mean, why would he move it from Cincinnati to the Barclays Center? I mean, for what's the rationale for that? I mean, again, they both hold. I mean, you're looking at a difference of maybe 1,000 seats, maybe.
I don't know. It's because Al Haymon has held several cards at the Barclays, and I don't know. I don't know if NBC would have any objections to Cincinnati, but you know, this is supposed to be an NBC card, so I don't know if they had some say so. You know, over this or not. So
yeah, I kind of wonder what the rationale is if it is indeed being moved. Now, BoxRec still has it listed as June 20th at U.S. Bank in Cincinnati, but again, that could change, especially with you know with Bronner's popularity and depending on who's on that undercard. Yeah, I could see him moving it, but
I know Marco Huck is supposed to be on the undercard somewhere, but I don't know. Right. I don't know if he'll be televised or how that's supposed. But that's supposed to be his U.S. debut. So
I would imagine. I would hope he was. He would be televised, but who knows, man?
Yeah.
Who knows? So we'll have more information on that one as time goes on, as the week moves on or whatever. We'll call and see if we can confirm that see what's going on. Last but not least, man, SiriusXM to broadcast Premier Boxing Championship fights, and it starts on the 11th.
Oh, okay. Wow. I know because I am a lifetime subscriber to SiriusXM. I bought a... When I bought my first radio in 2005, in 2011 they said they were getting rid of the lifetime subscription, so I bought the last one. So I'm glad to hear that. They'll probably use, if I had to guess, they'll probably use Channel 92 because that seems to be where they put all their boxing programming. I've called into Randy Gordon and Jerry Cooney's show on numerous occasions.
And I believe that's who they're using. Yeah, Jerry Cooney, Randy Gordon, Jerry Cooney, and Sway Calloway will be on there as well.
Yeah,
as an inside reporter. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got a lifetime membership. I enjoy that service. So good. I can pass the word around that if people want to hear boxing. Now,
It will be on Channel 92, on Sirius Channel 92.
Now, does the press release say when it'll start, or are they just going to show cover the main two fights, or what?
It does not. It says the April 11th card will feature, and it goes on to say Randy Gordon and Jerry Cooney, and you can get, of course, the whole thing on ringsidereporter.com, but it says here, and then they talk about, but it doesn't say when it's going to start. Let me see if I can find that.
Okay. Because I know a lot of people that do not have access to the internet that do have the satellite radio that would actually love this.
Yeah,
so.
it talks about let's see here, the fights at the fights Monday and Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern.
That's
and,
right.
Going the Distance, hosted by Teddy Atlas and Wally Matthews.
That's on Tuesday
at 6 o'clock. Yeah, it talks
about
those two, but it does not say that. It does not say when that's going to. I imagine it's going to be the same time. I could be wrong, but I imagine it's going to be the same time as the actual card starts on NBC.
Well, if you manage to come up with anything before Friday, be sure to call me. Because,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like I said, I know a lot of people like me that don't have the internet that are heavily into boxing, and they would love the fact that it's on radio where they can hear it. I hope they do the same thing with Mayweather-Pacquiao, because I also know a lot of people that are not going to be able to afford this pay-per-view.
That's $100. I mean, I mean, and everybody says, it's like I said, $100 for a pay-per-view. So, that's a lot of money for a pay-per-view, man. Even as much as a boxing fan as I am, you still, when you hear the $100 pay-per-view, you're like, that's like sticker shock. You're like, seriously? You know, $100? You know, because now it goes nowhere but up. You know, I mean, it goes nowhere but up, you know. So... Once they start breaking these molds, I mean, that price never comes back down. You know?
Well, I view this as a once in a lifetime thing. The only way I could see it continuing is if there's a rematch, because I think once Mayweather and Pacquiao leave, Eric, there's nobody in boxing that's ever going to be able to command this price on pay-per-view ever again.
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, it'll happen. I mean, again, I mean, records are always broken. I mean, you know, it'll happen again. I mean,
maybe not in our lifetime, you know.
That's true. That's true. You know, and no matter how one-sided you think the fight's going to be or how competitive you think the fight's going to be, it's still a big event. It's still a huge event.
And I know boxing fans don't want to hear this, but if you don't want to pay for it, CBS is going to show the replay on May 9th.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, I think that's pretty amazing too, that's going to be on free TV, not Showtime, not HBO, but on CBS. I think that's great. I think
that's why if you watch the CBS card, you only seen the guy from Texas talk about fighting Ricky Burns. That's why they didn't mention a second fight on that card, because the second fight on that card is going to be Mayweather-Pacquiao replay.
Yeah. And how great is it that they're bringing boxing back to radio? I mean, I remember listening to some fights on radio a long time ago, you know, that they, you know, you used to really have to search to find them. You know, if they weren't, you know, if you didn't have cable or you didn't have, you know, or, you know, anything like that, you had, or if it was a pay-per-view fight, you really had to search to find it on the radio, especially, you know, in Cincinnati. It's like, I, you know, and boxing's a niche sport as it is. So, you know, trying to find this on radio was almost impossible. And I don't even know that they broadcast it anymore. But
No, they don't. But
yeah,
see, and, that's why, Eric, if you want, you know, you wouldn't want to, but if you know people that can't afford, you know, pay-per-views or anything like this, having a satellite radio is wonderful. And if you like sports, you don't want to get Sirius, you want to get XM. They cover all the sports.
They're both the same now. They're at Sirius XM.
No, even though the companies have merged, the radios are different. So, because they're still selling two separate radios.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, see, I've owned a radio now for almost 10 years. So,
but don't they all have the same channels on them? I mean, because same company.
No, they don't, because the XM radio has more satellite capability, so they have more channels. The Sirius radios have smaller capacity, so they don't have as many channels. And I don't know why the company is still selling two different sets of radios, but they are.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Well, believe me, I did my homework before I bought my first one.
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
Because once they announced that they were doing Major League Baseball, I went to Best Buy as soon as I could.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
You know, so, no, keep in mind, DirecTV owns SiriusXM. So what they're trying to do is set it up like the TV service. You know, their slogan being, if you're a sports fan, you got to get DirecTV. Well, they're trying to do the same thing for SiriusXM. If you're a sports fan, you got to get this if you want radio coverage.
Wow. Okay. I think it's a great movement. I tell you what, I like what PBC is doing. I like what you know, Heyman's company's doing, bringing the fights to free TV, bringing them back to radio. I mean, just coverage, anything to stay in the mainstream. I love it. Love it.
My only criticism. This has to be unification bout. I mean, you can't do this 143 garbage, you know?
I agree. Yeah, I wish it was. You know, like I said, I wish it was. But if this is the only way we could see that fight, then, hey, that's the only way we could see the fight. You know?
All right.
All right, so I think that'll do it, man. That'll do it for this week's edition of Ringside Reporter. Remember, you can catch us online at www.ringsidereporter.com. And also, too, man, if you like us, make sure to give us a good review on iTunes. We already got some good positive results up there. So, hey, what are you waiting for? Go give us a review.
Well, then we'll have to make time to read the reviews so people know that we pay attention. So.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And if you want to, follow us, we're both on Twitter. Mine is at Ringside Robert, I've got contact info, so you can actually talk to me. So if you go there, it's there. And Eric's on Twitter, so go ahead and give out yours.
At Ringside73.
There you go. So let us know how we're doing, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.